Good morning. Today I think is a great day. I woke up this morning. I was very, very sick, like I am every time I got to preach, but that went away very quickly. And, you know, I started taking inventory, counting my blessings. I just thought, you know, today is a great, great day. God woke me up with the breath of life. I looked around and my family was with me. God's just giving me so many good things. You know, LSU figured out the invention of the forward pass. And so I'm thankful for that. You can't get any better. So, all joking aside, you know, football season comes. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I coach Pee Wee football. We go to Friday night football games, watch LSU on Saturday. And so with that increases my TV watching. I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but I do enjoy watching sports. And one of my favorite things about football season is some of the commercials. I enjoy commercials. I like Super Bowl commercials. Some of the good ones, you know, some of them are not, but one of my favorite commercials I've been watching over the last several weeks and the stuff is the AT&T commercials, Okay Is Not Okay. Have y'all seen those? There's one of my favorite ones is this man, he's about to go into surgery. He's talking to the nurse and asks about the doctors coming in. He's like, is he good? Well, he's okay. And the man gets immediately nervous and the doctor walks in like, just got reinstated. You know, he's all excited. And so he walks in and he asks the patient, are you nervous? He said, yeah, me too. We'll figure it out. You know, so he walks off and the tagline is okay is not okay, you know. And so in our lives, we don't like stuff that's just okay. We like great things. We like, if we can achieve it, we like perfection. But very few times in our life, we're capable of that perfection. But we're always striving. We're always trying to get to that mark and we want better. We want better than okay. And in that matter, you know, if you ever have a carpentry project, I'm not your man. I do some projects, but I'm not very good at all that. I do stuff for my wife and I've helped out people, but looking back at one of the projects, I helped a buddy one time. He had needed to build a fence. And so he had already had the post set, everything's level, had the boards. And so all I had to do was show up and help him nail on the fence, the rest of the boards. So as we started nailing, the first one, we checked, make sure it's level. But most boards, fence boards, if any of you have ever done a fence, they're not straight all the time. And so we decided, you know what, we're just going to eyeball it. We're going to roll with it. We got our boards. We know where that's it. So we're going to eyeball it. So we start putting them up. And at first, it looks pretty good. And we go on for a good while. And then we step back and we take a break and we look. And the fence is starting to walk. And it's pretty bad. And, you know, the comment was made, you know, we say this in the plans a lot of times. Well, I'm not going to see it from my house, you know. So I was okay with it, but my buddy wasn't very happy with me, you know, because he thought I'd done it before. I'd never built a fence. So, you know, that day okay wasn't okay. You know, he wanted better. And in our lives, we all seek better. We should. We should want better for our lives. But what's amazing is we should go to the expert, right? If there's a carpentry project, we should go find somebody who does it for a living. If we go to a doctor, we expect him to know what he's doing. But in our lives, we decide a lot of times, you know, we're going to eyeball it. We're going to say, you know what, we're going to choose different standards to which we're going to do, and we'll go after and we'll do the best we can. You hear people all the time, I'm just making it day at a time, just making it, which is crazy because we have a God who we know created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. In the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 4 through 6, God says this, where were you when I established the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who fixed its dimensions? Certainly you know. Who stretched the measuring line across it? What supports its foundation? Or who has laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? And so here we know the story of Job, but God's challenging human wisdom. You know, a lot of times we think we got it all figured out, but God said, I'm the one who created this. I'm the one who stuck out the measuring line. I'm the one who held the tape. I made it pure and perfect. And yet in our lives, we find ourselves over and over not relying on God and relying on our own eyes. And so the last few weeks, we've studied the book of Amos. Brother Jeff has been in a series, and this morning we're going to be in Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. And so we see over and over again that the children of Israel who have just turned to their own way. We've seen their pride and their arrogance and their own self-seeking pleasure take over and take root. But so he has sent Amos to reach out to his people to tell them the way of God. And so if you start in chapter 7, verse 1, There's two visions that Amos is given by God. The first vision is a swarm of locusts, and this is a representation of God sending the locusts to just wipe out all the vegetation, take away the food. And we see Amos ask for for forgiveness. And we ask Amos not, you know, he cries out on behalf of Israel, and the Bible says that God relents. And then the second vision is a vision of fire. And again, Amos cries out for help and asks for God to not send this fire upon the people of Israel. And so again, we see God relents. But then we come to this third vision. In verse 7, as Brother Bradley read, we'll read it again. It says, he showed me this. The Lord was standing there by a vertical wall with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, what do you see, Amos? I replied, a plumb line. And then the Lord said, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will no longer spare them. And so we see this first thing that stands out is this wall. And it's not just any wall, it's a vertical wall. And we know it's a vertical wall because God is standing there with a plumb line in his hand to judge it. So we see here, if some of you who don't know what a plumb line is, this is basically a plumb line. It's a weight held by a string, and this is the most close to perfect thing on earth that we can find because God designed it that way. With gravity and the weight, it holds a true line. Anybody ever used a level that had been dropped several times, and you try to hang something, and then you put it up, it's kind of... It can get knocked off. It's not a perfect, or sometimes we ride the line on that bubble. You know, if it makes it fit and we say we're in the line, but it's not perfectly straight. And so we see here God uses this illustration of a plumb line to say that when he builds something, he builds it straight. It's perfect. It's pure. And so what is this wall? And this wall that God's talking about here is a picture of the children of Israel. And so we see that God has built this wall. And so in this time, this is a picture, and people understood a wall. At that time, there wasn't, poured ag or something to come with a concrete truck. A lot of times they built these walls and they were dry stone walls. And so they fit together kind of like a puzzle piece or like Legos. They were interlocked. And so they understood that with every wall, there was a solid foundation. And so God had laid the foundation for the people of Israel. And that started all the way back whenever he talked to Abraham. He promised the covenant with the children of Israel. He promised that Abraham would be the father of many nations, and on this promise, he would bring about a Messiah in the future. And so God had started building this wall with a great foundation, a solid foundation, a perfect foundation. And then there were other things that were built upon it. There were these founding stones, and then there's smaller stones, and then there were through stones, and so it would stack up. And then in the middle, there's these hoarding stones, and it all held this wall together. And when assembled correctly, and according to the plumb line, you would build a strong, lasting wall. And so God is telling Amos, and he's telling the people of Israel, I built you perfectly. Whenever I laid the foundation for the nation of Israel, it was right and it was pure and it was true and it was good. You know, he was talking to the children of Israel, and we have the same promise today. Whenever Jesus built his church, whenever God promised he would build his church, he built it on the best foundation ever. He built it on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Our faith is built on nothing but the fact that Jesus loves us and that he died for our sins and that he sacrificed his life and he gave up everything that way we might have this forgiveness and this grace. And that's the foundation that we have. And God continues to build upon his church. He adds stones daily whenever he calls people to his church. And so, again, he didn't leave us without instruction. He didn't leave us to just guess at this thing all by ourselves. He gave us a plumb line. And this word of God that we open up each Sunday, and hopefully we open every day of our lives, guides us, and it keeps us true, and it keeps us true to his word. And so we see that God's talking to Amos, and he said he built this wall just like he had built our wall, and he's holding out the plumb line, but he says this. He said, I'm setting out the plumb line among my people, and I will no longer spare them. And so there are three things that God uses this plumb line for. We talked about it a second ago. He uses it for building, but he also uses it for correction. Again, whenever the people would build these dry stone walls, they understood that it wasn't just build the wall and then walk away and it's going to last forever. There was maintenance to be done. There were things that would happen to the wall that would cause it to lean. And then whenever you would see this on a annual or biannual term, people would go out and they would hang this plumb line and they would see how straight their wall was. And so in our lives, we're not expected to just gain this life of faith, gain this life of grace, and then walk away from it and say, you know, our wall, our faith has been built, and we walk away from it, and it just stands straight. No, there are things that cause even our walls to lean in this life. And so there are things that we see in this life that cause us to lean. And so what are some of those things that cause us to lean? You know, there are storms that come up in our lives. Just like with these walls that experience weather, there are things that would beat down on this wall and cause it to erode and just take away from it. And in our lives, we face storms each and every day. Sometimes we're going through good weather like we have right now where we face extreme heat and thing helps and withers us away. But sometimes there are massive storms that come and the winds come and the rain beats on us and it takes away from our life and it causes us to lean. There are also people who want to tear down our walls. There are people who will throw stones at your wall. And you will find that as you go through this life, people are casting stones at you and just it continues to just chip and chip away this wall. And left unattended, it will continue to erode and break down our wall. You know, sometimes people go and they need things and they might steal your stones. They might come to this wall and grab. And so many times we can look back our lives and see where we've allowed people to steal things, steal our stones, steal our joy. They've stole our peace. They've stole our love because we've taken our eyes off of God and we focused on these people. And all of a sudden, we're not looking at the plumb line anymore. We're just focused on the wall and the wall is starting to lean over. So what do we do in these times whenever we notice that, you know what? All these things in life are just beating down on me. My wall is leaning. There are options we have. One of the options is just to ignore it. We can just walk away from it and say, you know what? It is what it is, and I'm just going to get through this. Or we can look at our wall and say, you know what? My wall is starting to lean a little bit, but my wall is better than this guy's wall, and surely it's better than her wall. And a lot of times as Christians, that's what we do. We go through this life and we look at our wall and we might look outside the church and we say, you know, we're doing way better than the world. They're getting crazy out there and their wall is leaning and it's about to tumble. So I'm pretty good. Or we get in church and we say, you know what? You know, I'm doing the things I'm supposed to be doing and they're not doing it. They're not meeting up to the standard. And so we take our eyes off of the plumb line and we just put our eyes on everyone else's wall. And then, you know what? We feel pretty good about ourselves. You know, I've done this same thing. I worked in the plants as a pipe fitter for years, and one time I was running this pipe right alongside of another one, doing what I thought I was doing good, and it was running straight next to it. And then whenever we put on the plumb line and we put the square on it, we were both out of whack. So the key is don't follow somebody else's crooked line. Don't look at somebody else's crooked wall and think that we're doing okay because we both might be about to fall over. So what do we do? What's the next choice? Next choice is we fix our wall. But again, sometimes we have the wrong methods to which we're going to fix these walls. Sometimes we say, you know, we're just going to patch it up. And we patch up the wall of our life and we find things that say, you know what, we're just going to stick something on there and hope it holds. And we do that whenever we search for material things. You know, my wall's leaning, my life is struggling. I'm going to look out and try to find fulfillment with material things. And we go after these things. We think that if we get this nice new home, you know, I'm going to feel better about myself. My wall, it's going to hold my wall up. If I get the next vehicle or I need new furniture or if I need a new dress or new purse, we look for material things to hold us up when we know that that's not going to do anything for us. Other times we patch our wall with prestige. We look for people's approval. We try to get into organizations or clubs or try to become on a committee and just try to look for things that would hold us up by just making us feel better about ourselves. Power goes hand in hand. We want to be in charge of things, and so that gives us something in our lives that feel like, you know, if I have the power, I can hold my own wall up, which is not the case. Others of us fill our time with lust or substance abuse, and you see people who were on a straight path, and all of a sudden you find out they're on alcohol or drugs or all these other things, and all they're trying to do is just patch the hole in their wall, trying to hold it all together, when we should look towards God and find out with his plan, what does God say about fixing walls? How are we supposed to do it? So one way we know, a little object lesson here today, we got the kids in here. So one thing is what they would use for a wall to fix is they would take these pry bars. And so there were big stones that you would move. And, you know, if you're strong like Bradley, you could probably pick them up. But I would have to get this pry bar and you would move the stones and you'd walk it closer. And so there are stones that need to be moved out of our lives at times. There are stones that are easy to see. They're big rocks that are easy to get rid of. A lot of times it's things like our attitude. You know, we just poor attitudes, and God will call that out, and we need to get rid of that attitude. It could be we're not attending church like we're supposed to, so we become faithful to church. Or it could be all kind of big things. And we all know the easy things like, man, something's different about this guy. You know, I see him going to church all the time. I see him getting closer to God. I hear his language is different. So what's going on? What's doing different for him? He's giving to church. He's involved. Well, he's allowed God to move these bigger boulders in his life. And so sometimes we move the big boulders and we say, okay, that's good. I'm tired. That was some heavy lifting right there. You know, these boulders, and it is a big deal. It's a big deal to become faithful. It's a big deal to give to God. It's a big deal whenever we're moving and growing closer to God and shoring up this wall. But it doesn't stop there. So there's other tools that God uses in our lives. And one of the other things he uses is a hammer and a chisel. And so a lot of times we see this hammer and chisel, so we look for a stone that looks pretty good. And we look for the stones like, well, this is close. And so we find the stone, and then we might chip away a little bit, and then we bring it to God and say, okay, we're good to go. But oftentimes what we need to realize is we don't need to do the chipping. We need to give the hammer and chisel to God and allow him to do the chipping. Like I told Brother Gerald this morning, I'm going to step on a couple toes here this morning, my own included. It is a very, very difficult thing to hand these two tools over to God. You know, a lot of times we say the prayer, God, mold me into your creation. Make me to look like you. And yet we use that eyeball and we say, you know what? I look pretty good. I looked in the mirror. I'm straightening up some things and it's good. But there's a lot of things that are hidden. You know, there's things about me that you might see. Nice jacket, good shoes. It looks, except for the face, it looks pretty good. The presentation's there. But none of you know what's inside my heart. There's only one who knows this old rotten heart at times, and that's God. And so it is a fearful thing at times to hand this over to God. It's so scary because we understand that God knows about all the things that no one else knows about. And if we say, God, you mold me into the rock that you'd have me to be. You mold me into the rock that's going to make this wall stand firm and stand tall and stay true to this plumb line. I give it over to you. God starts doing things. He looks down and he sees the pride. And we start hitting that away, it hurts. It's not a good feeling. It's not comfortable to have that stuff chiseled away. Whenever he sees greed in our life, when we're not focused on others, just as the children of Israel had just worried about their needs, their selfish needs over and over and put others to the side and worried about themselves first, are we some of those people? Do we put ourselves first? You know, if there's lust, if there's just this pride, if there's that secret sin that nobody knows about in this room, nobody, you would be scared to death that anyone would find out about it, especially God, and you think that you're hiding it from God Almighty, the God who told us in Job that he created everything, he measured it all out. God knows every dimension. He knows every hair on your head. He knows the darkest places of our heart. And so when we hand that over to God, are we ready for him to reveal that? Some of these things we press down so long and so deep down inside of us that we forgot about. We think we do, and we think it's just there, and we can't, and we're scared to bring it up again. We're scared to allow God to take it out and to chip it off because, you know what, whenever we get closer to God and he's chipping away, and chipping away, and chipping away, and making us into the rock that would fit into his wall, a lot of us is left to the side, and we're getting down to a smaller rock. And that rock is focused on Jesus. And no longer are we worried about the size of our rock, and we're not adding to it. You know, a lot of us think we want the biggest, prettiest, flashiest rock. God said for the center of that wall, whenever he would stack it up, the most important wall, the rocks were the hoarding rocks, the smaller rocks, the ones that have been chiseled to fit perfectly. And God has a place for each and every one of us in his church. But it's up to him to chisel it away and to make it fit perfectly. It's not our decision to look at our lives and say, this is how I want it to be. We have to look towards God's standard. And when God says he wants you to be like this, we need to be like that. And we find that in the word of God. And when our salvation is our foundation and we trust in God and we're building this wall together with Jesus, we then have a strong wall. And when God holds that plumb line, we see a straight vertical wall because we're growing together with God. We've allowed him to do the maintenance in our lives. We've allowed him to take over our life and for our wall to become true. Because there's a third option that you can use this plumb line for, and that's for destruction. It's for tearing down. We see here in verse 9, God says Isaac's high places will be deserted, and Israel's sanctuaries will be in ruins. I will rise up against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. So we see that God is a patient God. We can see over and over in the Bible where God relents. He shows this vision of the locust and the fire, and Amos cries out, said, God, spare them, God, spare them. But God is saying right here that there will come a time where I will hang out my plumb line, and my truth will be the only truth that matters. And these fake walls, these walls that weren't built with the right foundation, where people just took their own opinion, they took their own rocks, and they threw them in a pile, and they stacked them up, and they took what looked like good rocks, and they took their religion, and they took their good works, and they took their devotion to community and clubs and all this stuff, and they just stacked up this pile of rocks. The truth is, if you stack up rocks, it does you no good without a firm foundation. If you do not start with God's foundation, His truth, His word, His promise, if you don't surrender your lives to Him and give over the building to Him, all we have is a pile of rocks. And God says, one day I will destroy those pile of rocks. Each and every one of us in this life has an opportunity to start building that wall. God calls out to us to build the wall, true and straight. But it's not your choice how you build the wall. You have to do it God's way. And God says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's not your good works, it's not your religion, it's not your dad's religion, your mom's religion. It is what you have decided to do whenever He called out to you. Did you choose to believe and allow Him to mold you into the rock that He would have you to be? Or did you choose your own way? Did you choose to eyeball it? Did you choose to use whatever method you thought was good and say, you know what, this is good enough? Because in the end of the day, God's word is enough. It is true and it's holy. And whenever we hand over the chisel and the hammer, we see God start chipping away our lives. We start seeing progress. We start seeing taller walls. We start seeing stronger walls. And that's what Amos is telling these people right here. By God, God's telling Amos that no longer am I going to allow this stuff to go on. I want a straight wall. So are you part of God's plan? Are you part of the rocks that He's going to build His church with? Are you going to be able to give over your life for His will? That's the challenge for each and every one of us. Allow God to search your heart. You search your heart and give over the things that have held us back for too long. If there's those sins that you just enjoy, hand it over. If there's just fearfulness of what God will create you to be, it's okay to be a little afraid because He'll change you. But trust God. Trust that His ways are true. Trust that His ways are perfect. And when we put our trust and our faith in Him, we'll see the wall come together. And we'll see great things done. And we'll see protection that only God can give us by having this strong wall.